as we gather for the second Sunday of Easter in the year of 2020. The word peace is central for God's people to hear time and again as part of worship. The peace of the Lord is exchanged between pastor and congregation and often also spoken among the people of the congregation. It is the last word in the benediction, and it is therefore the most frequently used word to close the service. In the era of the Reformation and the decades following, the hymn, "Grant peace, we pray, in mercy, Lord," was used immediately after the sermon as a reminder of how important the Lord's peace was in a world that knew unrest and challenges. It is our blessing to hear that word of peace from our Lord once again today in our world, which has also unrest and challenges. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Alleluia. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Alleluia. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Alleluia. Alleluia. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let us then confess our sins unto our gracious Lord. Almighty God, in humility and with repentant hearts, we come before you. With shame and regret, we admit and confess our sinfulness. We have not lived up to our calling as your peaceable people. We have not done the good you demand and have not been the people you would have us be. We do repent and are truly sorry for our sins in thought, word, and deed. Have mercy on us, merciful Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son. Forgive us all that needs your forgiving grace, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, direct us to serve you faithfully all our days through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has promised his merciful forgiveness to those who repent of their sins and turn to him in confession. He will revive them and speak peace to his people. In his stead and by his command, therefore, you are forgiven all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God keep you in his grace by the Holy Spirit, lead you in ways of peace and joy, and finally, bring you to live with him forever through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading from Acts chapter 5. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed and his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading from 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And thirdly, the gospel reading according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So once again, we come together in spirit, separated in body, but with the disciples, in a way, entering into this new time of this new reality or new age, this new time after the resurrection of Jesus, entering into the new reality of Christ's life. It's interesting to see the way that our moment connects with the apostolic moment in a couple of ways. First, that it connects with our current need in a way to kind of get back to life, the desire for a new beginning and a new start, a return to normal, but also recognizing that with the virus that has come upon our world, that the new will be a bit different from the old, and there are adjustments that will be made that perhaps we may not comprehend or understand fully, but they will unfold in time. In the same way, we also come into this moment from a spiritual perspective of the new beginning, the gravity of the virus settling upon our culture, our peoples, that perhaps each of us particularly, you know, uniquely in various ways, our situations being different in this, in one way or another, and yet the spiritual moment is poignant for each of us as children of God and children of faith. So in the midst of this, I find quite beautiful that our Savior comes to the disciples through the doors that were locked. Again, the physical reality of that day and time, perhaps speaking to the spiritual reality of our moment. A reminder that with our risen Lord, there is no power, there is no door that is locked that can keep him, his purpose and his kingdom out. And this is reflected in a general principle that we noted in the Acts reading, the apostles are referring to this sense that we must obey God rather than human wisdom. And then further explicated by Gamaliel in the thought that if this is from God, it cannot and should not be resisted. So we are coming into this reality, and Jesus meets the disciples as they are behind these locked doors, and we know then that our Lord can come to us through, in the midst of, or beyond all of our moments of doubt or uncertainty, that we need not have a perfect faith in a sense to have and meet to hear the voice of our Savior's expression of peace to you. Again, the understanding here is that this is not just a wish statement in the way that, you know, may peace be with you in a maybe so, maybe not, but rather in a conveying sense, that peace be with you is this a declarative word that Jesus speaks as he speaks. The reality is invited into our lives, and faith hears these words. Faith, again, reaches out, accepts, embraces. Faith appropriates these words to the soul, to the emotion, to the mind of the individual that hears them in faith in Christ. And so Jesus comes in this way to the disciples then, but also to us now in our moment. So I implore you again to hear the words of our Savior, peace be with you. And yet, as Jesus comes to convey peace, we understand in the gospel reading here from John that, or is it Matthew? At any rate, the gospel reading, it is from John, that peace is not just conveyed for us in a way that we receive in a passive way, but peace comes with God's purpose for our lives. Peace and purpose are brought together. So the epistle reading from 1 Peter 1 refers to this as the fact that we are born again to a living hope, imperishable and guarded through faith. We are born again in time. Jesus is born into the reality of our existence again in time through the overshadowing of Mary. But we can understand that from the dawn of time, God's purpose has been to ultimately, in the fullness of his time, send Jesus. And so we are invited to the confidence of the moment of the eternity of God's plan being fulfilled in and through Christ. And then as Jesus speaks to us, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you, each of us are invited to understand the eternal dynamic of our existence and the eternal reality of our faith, that this has been willed of God through Christ to each of us. And this grounds us then in a kind of inviolable understanding of the nature and the reality of God's peace to us, but also our calling. So Christ comes to the doubting also, and Thomas then is invited to reach out and to touch. He does so on behalf of all of the doubts of humanity and comes to the conclusion, my Lord and my God. And so with these words, Thomas confesses the reality of a transformation of his whole perspective and orientation to life. It had been to this moment, unless I see, unless I touch. That is, reality is real only to me and my senses and my perception. It's a way in which the ancient or the historic text speaks to the historicity of our moment, and the whole orientation to life is that only governed by reason and not embracing or accepting the spiritual dynamic of this. But Thomas, in his doubt, then reaches out and touches the side of our Savior, and his senses and are overwhelmed with the truthfulness, the reality of our Savior's bodily resurrection. And he is transformed into understanding then that Jesus is in fact risen from the dead bodily, and he thus confesses, my Lord and my God. And so with these words, accepts Jesus in his resurrected body and reality as Lord. So here Thomas enters a whole new reality, a whole new orientation to life, and that he being transferred from the sober and reality of his Savior's death, now steps into the glorious and joyful reality of his Savior's resurrection. And with that, the reality of resurrection life that made available to the apostles and to us through faith. Thomas now trusts Jesus and his word beyond his own perceptions and his own sense of what is real. And so with that, comes to Jesus to receive of Jesus' words, to consume in a way, to imbibe, to take into himself the words of Jesus and have his living existence transformed by the reality of the Word of God filling his soul and having its way with his life. Looking at the broader context here, the coming of Jesus to the doubting also transforms the individual from being lost in a world by himself, Thomas having removed himself, distanced himself from the disciples, perhaps by a deep sense of disillusionment and a lack of full understanding or comprehension, but a distrust had overcome. Now he is embraced in community and also in joyful worship. Beyond this, we know that our calling, peace and purpose means that we are serving others as Christ served. We are loving others as Jesus loved. We are growing in grace together as his people. So God's peace be with you as we celebrate the reality of our Savior's resurrected body and life, and with that then consequently the reality of our resurrected faithful lives, receiving the peace of our Savior and also being guided and sent with his purpose. God bless you and keep you in his peace. Amen. We pray together. Hear us, merciful Father, as we pray for ourselves, for the church, for our nation, and for all conditions and manner of people. O God of mercy, keep us from the doubts and fears that cripple us and prevent us from knowing the fullness of your saving peace and your gracious presence. Teach us to trust in your word and to believe with all our hearts, minds, bodies, and strength in Jesus Christ, crucified for our sins and raised for our justification. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God of power, give courage and strength to those persecuted for the faith, and comfort the families of the martyrs. Keep your church from following the winds of change, and make her steadfast in the doctrine of the apostles and the faith once delivered to the saints. Help us to admonish those who have fallen away with your word, and to restore with gentleness those who have wandered from the truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God of might, counsel the nations and their leaders in the paths of peace and justice. Bless us with wise, faithful, and just leaders who will protect the sanctity of life and defend us against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Make us wise and discerning citizens who use the gift of liberty for noble purpose. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God of love, teach us to love one another as you have loved us. Guide us so that in our neighborhoods and communities we may manifest the love of Christ as well as his strength. Deliver us from all that would threaten our homes and families. Protect the police, firefighters, disaster relief workers, and medical personnel who attend us in our community, as well as the places where we live and work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God of comfort, give your aid and relief to all who suffer want or need. to the sick in their afflictions, to those troubled in mind, and to those to whom death draws near. Help and sustain each according to your gracious will, and preserve them in faith, in peace, to life eternal. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God of hope, be with those who grieve the loss of those whom they love, particularly this week through disease and tornado damage. Point them to the promise of the resurrection and the gift of everlasting life to all who die in Christ. Deliver us from the distractions of things that do not matter, that we may focus on the needful things of your word and your sacraments, and so be found faithful when our Lord returns in his glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God of compassion, bless us with the good gifts of the earth, with the fruits of our honest labors, and with a kind and generous heart. Restore the businesses and the economy of our community and our nation. Accept the worship of our hearts and voices, along with the tithes and offerings we bring as part of our gratitude and thanksgiving. Open our eyes and hearts to the needs of the poor, that we may serve them in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O blessed God and Lord, hear the prayers of your people and teach us to trust in your will, to answer our prayers with all that is needful and beneficial, both for us and for all for whom we have prayed, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Loving God, receive us into your kingdom. Teach us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.